Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Wow, what's that I'm smelling? What are you eating there?
Beef tacos.
Oh, wow.
Why I'm doing that at 9 a.m.
Yeah, beef tacos. They even make them at this hour? Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Crave Cafe, so they have like dinner all day long, like 24/7.
Oh, God. Tacos in the morning. Okay, whatever.
That's why you should be on the mic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she will be in just a second. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is the day after Memorial Day, and it's Tuesday, May 28th. And we're counting down the days for rent payment.
Yep, three days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You forgot to mention, but the countdown is on.
Yep.
And we have a great guest in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. And just a couple things about the weekend. Did you work a lot? You
said I worked all weekend.
Yeah, so you didn't get to enjoy the holiday at all?
I wasn't going to do anything anyway. Like,
right.
I had yesterday off, and I was going to go to the G-Eazy birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to Aladdin by myself, and I'm cooking dinner for myself. I'm not doing shit.
Well, I saw Aladdin, too.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Well, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. Why? I really wanted to.
Yeah, I thought it was good. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was a musical and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was going to go out of town, but I ended up not because...
Traffic. Yep.
So I figured, and I was right, you know, because this whole town was empty over the weekend, which means everybody was on the highways.
Absolutely. Driving. There was parking everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not normal.
Right. I know. Well, we're going to have a great show today. We're joined by Mr. Ethan Dettmeyer. He's the host of Combat Radio, which is a show we have here on Fridays at 10. And he's been hosting it for about 69 years, right, Ethan?
It feels like 69 years to the audience. But it's been about 10. Since I think the station was about a year old when I started.
Right, so you've been here 10 years.
That's wild.
That's a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. That sucks. I mean, come on. It's like a prison sentence. I mean, I thought I was going to be like, you know. But actually, what's interesting is the opportunity was fantastic. And I look back over 10 years of all the people that were there then. I was thinking about that this morning.
Uh-huh.
And now this is like a global enterprise with like hundreds of shows and all this diversity. And it's amazing to see what it's turned into.
Yeah. That's true. And it's still not enough for me. You know, I'm like constantly struggling. How can I make it even bigger and bigger? You know, because it's like, you know, you reach a plateau and you go, well, I can do more than this, you know. So we'll see.
I thought we would do a show for like 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
I know nobody thought that, but we've got
several
hosts that have been here that long.
Yeah.
You know? It just becomes part of your life, you know. It's like you look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd be doing it for a short time and for fun. I didn't realize how therapeutic it would be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a book coming out on us too, actually.
Really? What book?
There's a book. It just came out last week, actually. It centers around a lot of live broadcasts and stuff that we do for YouTube. And people might ask why we do it for YouTube is because we only have a 2-hour show here.
Right.
And by the time I sub in an interview from somewhere else, from like a backstage concert or something, the guest you have in front of you kind of gets pissed off.
Right.
Says, well, what am I here for?
Right.
Yeah. No.
So,
and you do a lot of interviews and stuff on location and that. So
yeah. So we do. Yeah, cool. We do it for YouTube and stuff. I mean, sometimes we run snippets in studio, but it's like, do you really want to hear me and saying, let's cut away from me to me talking about me to somebody else?
Yeah.
It gets a little ridiculous, but you know, it's funny. So it's been the best thing having a show here. It's actually been a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you guys
awesome.
Always have guests.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'd really call them guests.
Friends.
You know, I don't even know if I'd call them friends.
There's some people. Acquaintances that come.
Depends. Well, if they walk in with their probation officer, maybe we don't really know them as well as they tell you we know them.
Yeah. That's why they can warm up the seats for you in the studio,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
as you can see, Ethan is stand-up comedy material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of self-deprecation there. Have you considered doing stand-up?
You know, I get asked that a lot, but I'm like, my life is already a punching bag. I mean, do I really want to go in front of strangers and let them have a punch, too?
Could you?
Yeah.
Could you do it? Do you think? Could you stand in front of a lot of people? And...
Look, I'm a paycheck away from saying yes to anything.
Yeah, same.
But certainly I would do it for charity or for something. I mean, I do a lot of MC work, but you know what's great about that is no one's there to really see you. So you have like, and I keep it all in perspective. Like I just did 4 dates introducing Oingo Boingo this month at different concerts.
Okay.
And what's cool about that is they're there to see the band.
Right.
And
that's
so
you, right?
I understand that like, okay, anything more than 2 minutes or 3 minutes is going to go and run into hostile territory because right. they don't want that.
Right, right.
And you got to get them excited for the band, right? Yeah. So you got to just hit a couple of like crazy adjectives and nouns and shout at them, you know? And so that's fun because that's like a 2 or 3 minute window on stage off.
Yeah.
And then the real show starts. Sitting up there and actually doing what a comic does, that's hard, man. And I think those guys are really well rehearsed. I think a lot of the good ones, they spend hours in front of a mirror.
They really do.
Probably working
know.
Their material out.
And like, and screaming at bad jokes.
Yeah, probably.
I've gone to some really terrible comedy shows. Know, like to the point where I'm like, how did you not know that this is going to go as bad as it did?
Right.
I told you the last one, time I went to laugh, it was literally... hard to get through. It was like almost to the point where I was like, I think I'm going to leave. I'm so uncomfortable. It was like everyone was bad. Every single comic.
You feel uncomfortable for the comics, you know?
You know, the thing about it is, too, is we did, you know, we've done a lot of different things, a lot of different events for charity and stuff, some high profile stuff. And you'll get a comic who makes it more about trying to make an impression sometimes.
Right.
And serving the general sort of event flow or purpose. And, you know, we've had things where comics have gone on 10 minutes too long because they're trying to basically score some sort of equivalent to an audition there, or they want to take someone to take notice and they're not funny or they're offensive. I mean, I've had to call people the day after. This just happened, actually, not too long ago. I had to call all the executives at Harmony Gold because they're Korean and apologize for getting bashed by a comic.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's like those are the moments where I thought, like, this is a hard business. Like, it's hard to be entertaining and fun and still not be the guy that everyone's calling to apologize for.
Right. To offend people. But that's what comedy's about.
I'm that guy you apologize for, but without all the upfront talent. So it's like, you don't get any of the fun. You just get the apology.
Right.
Sorry, this guy's even in the fucking room. Anything about it. But no, I don't know. You guys, there's some comics that do shows here. There have been in the past that are pretty talented.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, comics have a lot in common, you know, in that they...
with misery.
Yeah, and they're very competitive, too, with each other. You know, it's like the country, like, cutthroat type of thing. I see it's that a lot, like hey, he stole my joke. He's trying to do my routine.
Well, because it's really hard to be, like, original now. And I went to the last comedy show I went to, Dane Cook was the closer. And that's really why I wanted to go, because I haven't seen him live. And it was almost as if he was practicing new material. And I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
He probably was.
It was. He wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as I imagined it to be. Eric Griffin was on before him, and he did way better. Way better. I've seen Eric Griffin live like 4 or 5 times. He never disappoints.
It's like a tank of live eels at that high-end sushi place. They totally will eat each other if there's nothing else for them to do. It's really kind of sad. You know, it's like I used to think that my job was like the lowest rung on the entertainment ladder, just one rung above convention appearance manager. But now I think some comics that are doing like shows like, hey, everyone, welcome to Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm here 6 o'clock to 6:15. You know, I'll be in the football section. You know, and you look at those guys, you're like, no, that's the lowest.
Yeah.
You know, I got Loda, actually, one of our things way back in the day at the Lovitz Club on City Walk when it was there, she actually got on stage, put some material together during the event, just went on stage and did it and didn't even tell anyone she was going to do it. She fully surprised everyone. And I said, you know, whether it's funny or not, because that takes a lot of prep, that takes guts. Like anytime you get on stage in front of a possible hostile audience, you have some guts.
For sure. I don't think I could do it. I mean, I can sit and talk in front of into a microphone and with people here in the studio, but in front of an audience, I mean, I can do a lot of things in front of an audience, play music, sing, talk, but I don't think I could do comedy because you're way too vulnerable to criticism and I can't stand it.
Yeah, well, sometimes you think something's funny and other people don't.
Right.
You know?
I know. Like when that guy got hit in the crosswalk, that was fucking hysterical. That's what I'm saying. Like there's a certain tone comics apply that they think is funny and everyone else is like, what the fuck is this?
It's hard.
Your job is hard. Our job is hard. Like it's tough to even bring people into a studio and make them sound interesting.
Yeah.
Like take us for example. But in general, even when you have a celebrity, it's hard to really get. You know what I noticed in interviewing all these rock stars for the past year, this book that just came out is A Year of Live Broadcast Backstage.
Wow. Right.
And I look back at all these rock stars and I think most of them we've had here, I think some of them have been guests on your shows. They come through LA Talk Radio all the time. Who doesn't, right? But, you know, I realize that it's hard to do something and ask them questions that they haven't heard 1,000 times.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, my interviews became more and more like a mental patient's line of questioning, like just off the wall,
yeah,
crazy stuff to see if they were even paying attention. Right. How many times can you say, hey, how's the new album?
Right.
No, exactly. You know? That's why when we bring people in here, we find out more than just about what it is they're promoting, you know? Yeah. When you get to know the person, everybody's got a good story, at least one.
There's a lot of people, too, that have like a lot of personality, like on camera or on whatever they're doing, and then you sit them down to interview them, and they have no personality
That's
at all,
true,
and it's like,
right?
Holy shit, how am I going to get them to like...
And sometimes vice versa. It's like they don't have personality, you know, in real life. And then they come on the microphone, they open up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've seen that happen.
It's also like there's a state of mental fatigue I think a lot of people run with where they may be up for the interview. And then later in the day, they just might not be in a place where they can communicate to. I suffer from that. Like a lot of times I'll come across people, you probably do too, who go, oh, I heard the show. That was hilarious. And I'll be like, I have maybe a one or two word response. They'll be like, well, like dance, monkey. And I'm like, nah, you don't understand. I'm not really interesting. I'm interesting for 45 minutes in a day on a Friday from 10 to noon, if you're listening, people. That's it. Outside of that, I'm boring. And my wife and I were just having a discussion on the way in. Like, there's this thing I got to do where, if I'm doing anything like MC related or anything live related, I actually have to kind of think about it now in my old age.
Yeah.
Like I have to mentally prepare for it. It used to be I fly in there blind and be like, here we go. Let's have a few Mai Tais and get this interview going. Now I'm like, the fuck am I? How am I going to make this interesting?
Right.
I'm so goddamn boring.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's
the
thing.
Can we swear on the show? I think I think I'm past the point where I should even ask that.
Yeah. No, we swear 24/7.
Sorry.
You swear on your show, don't you?
Are you kidding me? It's like a Supermax prison yard out there. Yeah, okay. You heard those
guys? What's the problem?
Well, I just want, as a courtesy, I want to ask because not everybody likes it. My daughter is constantly.
Never mind that Ethan's been here 10 times on the show, but he doesn't remember.
This is the best show to do if you can do it. If you can get booked on the show,
yeah,
this is
exactly.
The best show to do.
If you can get in line.
For sure.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
And I mean, no, I totally mean that. This is always the most fun. And you know that being a guest is totally different than being a host.
Really is, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that. Did you know that when you started? I learned that.
Yeah, no, I learned it too, you know, because in the beginning what I would do is I would take over the show and then I'd catch myself and I go, what am I doing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a guest right now. I should let them lead.
Yeah.
So
My friend asked me to be on his show last night and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to take over the entire conversation. Yeah, when he was talking, I just wanted to be like, not used to this.
I know.
Do you do a lot of radio appearances or do you have a lot of guests who... are really, really determined to talk about something completely boring.
Isn't
that the worst? Dude, Sam knows exactly who I'm going to bring up right now. He invited this guy into
Steven
the show.
Tyler of Aerosmith.
Well, that was him.
Is
but
that
you
him?
Know what?
We've never had him, no.
No, no. This was like a financial planner, and she was really bored with it. And he really didn't have much of a personality.
Dude, he walked in with like a notebook of PowerPoint, like, points he wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
I'm like, this cannot be happening.
It's not this show, you know?
I love the sincerity, though, that he really does want to do well.
Yeah.
Brings the note. So I'm kind of like, I have a lot of empathy with that.
Right. What I can think, so that was yours. My the one that comes to mind is, actually, it's a girl you weren't here, a day you weren't here. And there was a guest here, and she
He's
came
pointing
to,
at me.
No,
I don't
no,
understand.
No, I said she was sitting where you are, and she came with a publicist. And she's like a sex expert, right?
Which you think would be entertaining.
Right. She bored the shit out of me the whole time, and I kept trying to direct it. I said, so let's talk about the sex a little bit. And she's constantly with all the spiritual shit and vibration and all that. I'm going, what the fuck,
you
man?
Know what's interesting
and I
about
kept
that?
Going back, and I was, so to this day, it's like we're friends on Facebook now, and she keeps on doing the same thing. Like, I mean, she can make orgasm sound boring.
You know?
Okay? That's what it is. And I'm going, who even wants to follow that?
I've had friends suggest a couple of those as guests who come in with them at times too. And what's interesting is a lot of those like sex expert types are people that have had like a late breakthrough. Like, don't they all have the same backstory? Like, well, I was in a real loveless wet marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they learned something.
So basically you were in a straitjacket and you said, fuck this. And you went out on the town and you tore it up. And now you think you know something you can tell the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's how it is, Ethan.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks they're a coach and they know and... and their way is the way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable, you know. And I see this all the time, you know. You got to be careful also who you associate with, you know. I mean, I know this woman that would go like, she promoted this guy in South America, I think in Peru, and they call him John of God, right?
Why?
I don't know, because very spiritual, whatever, right? A South African man in his late, probably in his 60s or something, right? So she always goes and talks him up and everything, and she's like, oh, yeah, look at the crystals and the connection and the healing and all that, right? Then I start seeing things on the news a couple months ago about how he's being accused of sexual harassment and sexual abuse and stuff of some of his followers and stuff. And I thought, you see, it's like she went and now she's distancing herself from him. I don't even see anything about him on there anymore, you know. Yeah. So you gotta be careful, you know, who you associate with.
Have you seen that documentary now on just that thing? It's basically a knockoff of that 10-part Netflix story about the guru who set himself up in Arkansas or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious.
Really? Is it good?
It makes light of all those. I forget, it's called Documentary Now. You'll see the episode.
Oh, okay.
But it's essentially, you know, all the guys from Saturday Night Live, and they do like thing. There are these like religious gurus feel compelled to kind of get like weak-minded masses around them to do their bidding, and basically it's like Ben-Hur on the slave ship, right? One guy bangs the drum, and everyone rows the oars, and they just feel like they're somehow repairing whatever damage life they got by serving this guru. It's kind of, right. You know, it's really, it's always interesting how people feel like the need to put massive amounts of bodies around them. Yeah. You can't just go from point A to point B spreading some goodwill.
Right.
You need to have followers. And I think as soon as you get into like the Colonel Kurtz, the Apocalypse Now philosophy,
right,
you become dangerous.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, and all these like gurus and stuff have had sex with all those subjects and stuff. You know, I mean, it's just,
I could never be in a cult like that. Yeah. I think it's so bizarre.
I know.
And all the cult movies and stuff, you know, it freaks me out.
People are vulnerable when they're mentally not okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I told you, I went to a bar like 2 weeks ago and I met this chick who dated this guy who, like, the whole town, I guess he's super loaded. His dad owns, like, Dole Juice or something. But supposedly, like, he killed, like, half of his family. Not the owner of Dole, his son.
His son.
And so she was dating his son.
The guy, the killer.
The killer. Like, supposedly. Yeah.
That seems normal.
Yeah, so they've been dating for 7 years, and they've only had sex 6 times out of the 7 years.
Really? Well, that's because he's got to fuck all the dead bodies he's burying in the basement. Yeah.
Is he in jail? I mean,
no, he's literally just around town. Like, But I was talking to this chick, and I told Sam, I was like, she freaked me out so bad. She's like, she reminded me of one of those chicks that was in like Maryland. What was that guy's name? Manson. I was like, next time I see this chick, it's gonna be on the news for like dropping bodies,
right.
110%. She was in this like weird trance about like, wow. I love the whole time for 2 hours straight, just talking about him. No makeup, like. Wow. Like, didn't brush her hair, didn't dress well. I'm like, you need a therapist. She goes, I just started. Yeah. I'm like, you should have started up very long.
That therapist is so stoked because that's years of guaranteed appointments. Yeah. That's like, that's a therapist's dream. It's like, honey, you need a lot of work. I'm going to need to see you Monday through Friday, at least 2 hours a day for the first decade.
It's right. Crazy.
Right. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Listen, I knew Loda at the end. Yeah. Would not be able to keep her mouth shut.
No.
No. Listen, Loda. You're
yeah, just come on.
What did you want to say?
No, I was come on.
By the way, Lola,
no, I was just
Ethan's,
commenting on
Ethan's
Ethan
wife.
Saying, make it rain, money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Since this is kind of like a therapy group, a support okay. group for radio personalities.
Oh, right.
In here, all four of us have done a substantial amount of radio, including Loda. But like, do you guys, I get asked a lot, who are the best and who are the worst personalities? Do you guys get asked that a lot to interview?
Not really, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, you bring people with titles and stuff in the entertainment industry. Yeah. You know?
And we throw them right under the bus.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you're throwing a plumbing target under the bus, and it's so much more gratifying than throwing an unknown under the bus, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, if we have, like, a sex therapist on here, no one's going to be like, well, who is the most interesting? But you have, like, people that are like, well, tell us all, give us all the details.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Well, we do like details.
But, you know, people that are open and they have a sense of humor and conversational, mm-hmm. they're all great. You know, I mean, I can't even remember who we had last week. And
I can't. You just have a terrible memory.
Yeah, and if I look at the pictures, I only realize I only remember their faces. I don't even remember their names a week later, you know, because so many just mixed into each other, you know.
I'm not really good with names, but I always remember a face.
Right.
Too.
Well, yeah. Me too, you know.
You guys have done, you especially have done like, what, 3,000 shows now, probably? Probably about
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I mean, how many did we count? It was like, if you figure, let's say, because in the beginning I did like 2 hours, like for a year or two years.
Oh my God, I can't imagine that.
Yeah. That was actually, so you had to get two guests
right.
and all that stuff.
Right.
You know? But it was fun, you know, in the beginning, shit, I wanted to do as long as possible. But yeah, it gets to be a lot when it's daily, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate.
But you're like, you're also the backbone for the whole station, right? The whole programming day starts with you.
Well, yeah, yeah. I always wanted, when I thought of a show, I thought, I want to be in the morning, you know. This is like, to me, the best time to do a radio show. And, you know, I mean, I've obviously been inspired a lot by Howard Stern, although I don't have the, I mean, not even close to him. But what I'm saying as inspiration to the point where I would listen and I would go, wow, that would be cool to do that every morning, you know?
Right.
And that's the point, you know, of it all. But, guys, let's talk about Aladdin for a moment. Do you guys want to?
Oh, did you guys see it?
Did you see Aladdin this weekend?
Do I look like I went out and saw Aladdin this weekend?
I don't know. Why? How would you look?
I would think Loda would go see it.
Loda.
I'm waiting to take my grandson.
Loda, who it's hard to believe he
has. Is he old enough to go into the movie?
He's three.
That's a little young for a musical.
Has he seen
the seat with popcorn? He'll see anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Has he seen the animated one? Animated Aladdin?
Yes. Yeah.
How'd you like it? Did you like it?
I loved it, man. And
I loved it.
The musicals.
Everyone dragged it.
Right.
I read the reviews before I went. I was like, okay, I think people are just hating because it's Robin Williams bandwagon people.
Right,
but
right.
I think no one on this planet could have played that role other than Will Smith.
He did it amazingly well.
Yeah.
And he also, a lot of it was like computer animated Will Smith. It wasn't the real him. When he was like really big and stuff, you could tell.
When he was a genie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. When he was a genie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that gets a thumbs up from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I left the theater smiling for like an hour.
Right.
I loved it.
Well, that's a sign of a good movie then.
Yeah, and I went to a late show and I didn't fall asleep, you know. But what occurred to me is the production design. All the little details they had there to make it look like genuinely an Arab like an old Arab town,
yeah.
You know all the little things. It's like in the palace,
right?
In the marketplace, it was like so convincing.
And the costume design was really, really.
The costume design was amazing.
Outstanding.
You know,
she looks stunning.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. She was very cute.
She
and
just didn't look enough Middle Eastern for me. That's the only thing that bothered me. Like she looked a little white, right?
Yeah, yeah. But he looked the part perfectly.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah. Everyone was talking
very
crap,
innocent
but
and cute, you know. And then so even when he was stealing, you didn't feel bad about him, you know, because he's just a cute little kid.
Now, just one question. My daughter said that Jafar didn't look evil enough for her.
He looked evil to me.
Really? Not evil evil enough? I'll tell you what. I don't remember his name. He's also an Arab actor. But I saw him in a movie recently.
I think this is all their first movies, right?
No. I've seen him in several movies. Yeah, in fact, I saw him in one movie where he was like an Egyptian agent and all that stuff. So, but I don't know what his name is. Is it Mena Massoud?
I have no clue.
No, that's
he
not
definitely
him.
Looked like evil
but
the
it's
entire
a, did
movie.
Did you know
though?
It's a Guy Ritchie film, though? I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed it.
I don't even know who that is, but
Guy Ritchie was married to Madonna. He's a director that. Not all his films have done very well.
They've done not very well since he left her.
Really?
The movies he did with her, it's the truth.
Really?
She insisted on being in them.
Oh.
The movies that he's done since he left her are much better.
Much better. Mm-hmm. What can you think of one or two that he did, Loda? In general.
With one or two, he did that one where he was, what was it, a shipwreck on the island or they were plane wrecked on the island and... That was one when he was married. But prior to that, he did all those British. He's British.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
surprise,
yeah.
He did a lot of British films.
Like right, didn't
Lock,
he do
Stock
like
and Two Smoking Barrels? Those were his Snatch.
The one that he did where they were, it was like, they were English, and there was like a rock and roll. And that was a good movie. And he did that after Madonna.
I've never seen that.
It was really clever. Really clever.
Oh, wow. Sounds good.
Hold on. Madonna's tweeting me right now. The nerve of this show to throw me under the bus.
And he did real well. It made $112 million.
And that's opening weekend. So they're going to make far more than that.
Of course. So and they expected, the studio only projected 75 to 85. Million. So imagine with 112, they're celebrating.
And that's opening weekend. It's going to be in the theater for at least a month.
Right, right.
Didn't he
He's
also
got Little Mermaid on the books now and all that.
Yeah. Didn't he also do Sherlock Holmes? That was Guy Ritchie.
Maybe. It's possible.
I never saw that. That's with Jude Law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. I probably should.
If only there was some sort of database where we could get our answers.
That's coming from memory. That's coming from memory because it did come up.
Yeah, because I think I was still at Warner Brothers when they.
Yes.
That was a big feature development quagmire.
I thought it was really good though. I was hesitant at first, but they did change a few things. Like it wasn't exactly like the original. Yeah. There's a little bit of a story speech. Jasmine had one new song. People hated that. If you left, what's the problem?
Yeah.
It's like complaining about an episode of Fame. Do you really care if the cafeteria worker spins off into a song? Right. Come on. There's a reason to not like the show.
But to me, they should be happy because originally in this and in Mulan, they were like going to get white actors to play the parts. And I was just like furious. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, no.
Wow. Well, nope. So, but all of you were right. Look, he did Snatch. He did Sherlock Holmes, and he did a lot of other movies. King Arthur, Rock and Roller, right? That's what you said. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. he did.
He's celebrating too, because it sounds like this gets him out of a downswing.
Probably.
Of course, anything associated with Warner Brothers or the former Warner Brothers brass is almost the kiss of death.
Really?
You know, speaking as someone who survived feature development over there, so I understand that King Arthur and... You know, Man from U.N.C.L.E. You know, he's also celebrating. Guy Ritchie's got a, he's at brunch right now, having a good time.
Yeah, why not? You know, he's
good for him.
He doesn't have anything more to prove. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he just brought in $112 million over a 3-day weekend.
Four day,
let's say, not bad. You know,
not bad at all.
Yeah,
it was good. I was smiling. I cried a little bit. There was like parts where you cried. Yeah. Oh my god.
I know the woman next to me is like.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
I cried like 3 times in that movie.
Really?
But I cried in the original too. So it's like I'm not the... And it makes me wonder what people are going to say about the remake of Lion King.
I love that little kid. J.D. McCrary is actually a friend of mine's nephew. And he's so cute and sweet and very talented. And everybody is like already ripping it.
Yeah. I'm like, it hasn't even come out yet.
And I'm thinking, give this little boy a chance.
And like a lot of the cast is black too. I think people are probably like, why?
The Lion King? Mm-hmm. Isn't it all animals, though?
Well, that was that was the first offer from Disney as an African-American film was they gave us animals.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Before.
Because you can't see it.
And Princess and the Frog was like, after that, they were like, are you serious? You gave us animals?
Right.
And so then they did for Princess and the
Wait,
Frog.
I'm trying to think. Is that accurate? That's accurate.
It's all black. It's like the whole cast is black,
basically.
The first
African-American cast members that were employed was for Lion King?
That's hard to believe. No, I'm saying is they had princesses. Like they had princesses from, they had Japan. They had princesses from.
Oh, so you're saying the first, you know, tributary move they made was Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is all animals. No people.
And Princess and the Frog bombed.
She wasn't
black. She was Latina. No, or no, the prince was Latina.
No, the prince. No, she was black.
That was a good movie. I thought that was fun. Yeah, that guy does a lot of charity work. That cast.
Yeah,
he's African American princess was smart, like Mulan. That's one of my favorite princesses.
I love Mulan too.
Oh my god, she's brilliant.
I wonder if they're gonna remake that one.
Oh my god, some guy's gonna come here to save.
Yeah.
She's like, let's get
it. She's like, I'm a warrior. Let's go.
I'm gonna get it. Let's go.
I'm all for you. You know, you're bashing a model that a lot of people have used for a long time.
Right. But let me ask you this: how are they gonna make live action Lion King? Is that what you're saying they're making?
No, it's 3D animated. Yeah.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying the entire cast basically is all black people.
I see. Okay. Well, maybe because it takes place. In Africa, and they're African actors.
Well, it's just voices, so it shouldn't matter.
No, they always try to make it matter.
I'm just really upset. I know that the Beehive is going to be upset that I'm saying this, but I just don't think Beyonce should be playing Nala.
Why not?
I don't think she's a good actress at all.
So who would you get to do it?
I don't know, but I just can't picture her voice carrying an entire movie. I really can't.
I think what they're thinking in the back room there is, okay, she automatically brings all the obvious. She brings the audience and she can sing. So that's 2/3 of what we're looking for, so we can get her through the act.
I forgot that it's a lot of singing, so I take that back.
So I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, they want to make their job, the marketing department wants to make their job as easy as possible.
For right. Like,
the less we have to market this, the more Beyonce does, the better for the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, the movie is going to make way more than $100 million in the opening weekend, I feel.
Well, it better. They charge enough for these fucking movies now.
Yeah, $18 yesterday,
it's
plus a mimosa.
For us to go, my family to go to the movies now, and that's why I get pissed $18
off. $18 for one ticket.
And if you buy it on online, like in an app, it's $20.
Yeah, if you buy it online, it's $20.
And when was the last time you walked out going, I'm glad I spent that money? That movie yesterday was really worth it. Okay, so that's that. Yesterday you did that. I've like the last 3 or 4 times I thought
John Wick was worth it too.
I want my money back.
That's what I hear. John Wick is really good, huh? And there's Halle Berry in it, right?
John Wick, she does not, you know, age. John Wick is so believable that you just can't help but be really glued to it.
Yeah.
That is just such a realistic
yeah.
I didn't realize that 2/3 of every American was an assassin in a secret assassin cult.
I know.
Yeah. I was like, I've been missing the bus. I didn't realize there was clubs like this on every street where only assassins could go with assassin money. And they could buy assassin type
pay. Yeah.
Exactly. And they were all in on it except me.
And
one guy can kill 200 guys, you know, by himself.
Yeah,
you know?
That's I love it. I love
that movie,
it.
That part,
that's
the
like
second
Rambo,
one,
you know.
They put out the warning, like John Wick is persona non grata, and then all of a sudden the sumo wrestlers and the belt are playing the violin, and it was like a zombie apocalypse movie. All these things started rising out of the, you know, the social
as soon as it shows up
and started killing them. It's like hilarious.
I loved it.
Gotta love Keanu though.
Well,
he didn't. I did a review on my YouTube channel about that movie, and I gave it a 4 out of 5. I gave the other 2 5 out of 5, and the only reason I gave it a 4 out of 5 is he didn't talk much in this one.
Really?
He didn't. It was like all fighting basically the whole movie.
Which one is that again?
The new one, John Wick 3.
Oh, yeah.
What Loda and I can attest to about him, though, is he largely, when we were based at Warner Brothers, he was considered one of the best guys to work with. My favorite I worked with was Schwarzenegger, but I think we can both say that Keanu had the best reputation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of any of the working crews.
Yeah.
They do say he's a good man.
Yeah.
You know?
People do say that. I've heard that too.
So, and that goes for a lot with me because so many of these guys are just ridiculously, unnecessarily difficult to
believe their own hype.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
He was always one of the, whatever you need. You need me to tumble through this thing on fire? Let's do it. You need me to do it 10 times today? Let's do it. No problem. Got everyone cars.
Yeah.
He bought some of the crew cars. It was the story I heard at Warner Brothers.
It wasn't cars, but he bought every person on the crew like a really big gift. And it was like really nice. I mean, people usually take their money and they go and they buy themselves Ferraris. And,
right.
But he's not like that.
No,
huh? People complain about him like not being a great actor. But to me, I'm kind of one of those person first.
Two things about him that I can attest to is we've had the bank robbers of Point Blank on my show several times, the ones that are still alive. And
wait, which one?
The ones that are still alive.
From Point Break. Love that movie.
There's one of us that loves that movie, right? But but they all said that he was actually the smartest actor they ever worked with, which was surprising to hear. But they said he was super cerebral. Right. The other thing too that we had Victor on the show here actually, who directed him in a movie called Destination Wedding. Recently, and they did it in like 8.5 days. They needed Keanu Reeves for 8.5 days. Now, for anyone in the business who's listening to this, they know that's a hard thing to put together.
Really?
A deal for that. Oh. You know, 8.5 days. And I guess when they took it to Keanu, like Keanu's first response was, "Hey, Vic, don't you think you might need 9 days? Like his joke was, "Don't we need an extra half day?" It was such a short schedule. Uh-huh. But he did this movie with Winona Ryder for him, and he said he was great. Total pro.
Yeah.
Didn't need anything special, just shows up and hangs out, does the work, and you know, you got to respect that in this day.
Yeah, not only that, I you know, my favorite film of all time is The Matrix.
Of all time.
And because of the lessons and the ideas behind it, you know? But I thought he was the best for the role. I mean, he was a natural for that, you know? And it was a I'm surprised you haven't seen it because you love him so much.
I do,
but she refuses to see it.
It just doesn't seem like a movie I'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
too much thinking.
Do you think you're living in a matrix, though? Because that's what Elon Musk
says. Yeah, he says that too, right?
Yeah, he thinks that.
I don't know.
I've never seen it, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You should check it out.
That everything we see is like a computer simulation. Everything that we go through, and we're actually beings that are connected to machines that are feeding electricity from us.
Which I would say, from my standpoint, sounds really ridiculous.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck?
But that's what I'm saying.
That was exactly the look.
But the special effects, pretty good.
In the Matrix, though, they sell it as like a reasonable reason for that being.
Right.
But when Elon Musk talks about it and he's smoking a joint, you kind of go like, all right, I think society, who would bother to plug in this society to kind of get these on-screen results?
Well, the machines would, you know?
What would a machine have to get?
Do you believe, you see, I believe and I fear this. At least I know it's probably not going to be in my lifetime, but machines are going to, I mean, they call it singularity when the machines reach the level of human intelligence.
That's close.
And what happens then when they exceed us?
Did you see that singularity documentary?
No.
Ray Kurzweil? Okay, yeah. I saw that because there's an idiot in China that for the Chinese government is trying to build the first AI machine, and he's doing it just so he can be the first one to do it, which is basically... That's our cue to bury a bunch of weapons and napalm in the desert and get ready. When you have an idiot that does something like that, not because of what it can do for society, but just what it can do for him and some sort of, you know, tech Bible,
right.
that's scary. But I think you will see it in your lifetime.
But I hope not, man. Because
I think he's right. I think it's probably going to be within the next 10 years.
Because it's moving very fast. Mm. I know. But let's say maybe 2030. I don't know.
We were at Cantor's.
I'll still be around.
We were at Cantor's Deli 2 days ago to have breakfast with the owner, and he was saying that he has a competitor there that just moved in robots to cook hamburgers.
Wait.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, robots that cook hamburgers.
And
they flip them over and.
I believe cooking is an art form, so I don't know how a computer can do it, but that's the new move.
Because that's McDonald's style, you know? I mean, everything is like systematized, you know? So
get ready. Go to Big Five and clean them out before the computers make it off limits to get your weapons.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
I can't believe I'm advocating for more weapons out on the street right now.
But listen, like now,
well, iRobot, yo, when those turn against you, you're dead.
I mean, look, San Francisco just banned. Finally, did something good, but banned like street face recognition in public because you know they can. In other words, they can figure out everywhere you are. I mean, did you see how accurate face recognition is, like on Facebook? And
I don't think they should ban that, though, because what if the crime goes down and you need that?
Well, yeah, but actually, at the same time, is it invading your privacy?
Not really. You're in public. Anything you do in public, it's like
face recognition for law enforcement.
Do you want people to know where you're going
on a separate server? I personally don't care. Because what I'm worried about is like somebody actually getting like their. Building a lot of 5G in Europe right now, and the only company that can put it in place is a Chinese company, and that's for all the cars that are going to drive themselves.
Which I'm never going to be cool with, ever.
Someone hacks that, and it's like Mad Max. It's mayhem.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the next terrorist move. So.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It just like crashes.
The cars, I was reading up on it.
You're like cruising down the highway, and it's like, you're dying today because my car is going to crash.
Right.
We're going to set it up so your car crashes today.
To me, I was thinking, if I was ever doing stand-up, you'd like a car like... I'm thinking, oh shoot, no, I'm not gonna get a car that drives this bitch to like drive me into a tree because I didn't get the right car wash and the wheels waxed.
Yeah, it's like no, absolutely not, definitely not.
Well, man.
No,
but no, I mean, look, I'm just reading here that I don't know if you've seen this online, but they're showing the Mona Lisa that picture being animated. But I'm not just saying moving her lips. She's moving her head sideways, up and down. And this is artificial intelligence figured like what she's going to look like. Look.
You know, some people think that's a painting of a man. Have you heard that theory?
Mona Lisa?
I believe that. Da Vinci that...
Well, Da Vinci was a homosexual. I'm not saying that that's a man, but that's what some people... think that that's a man.
It's possible.
I feel like
everyone's
a homosexual.
But I'll show you this afterwards. If you guys can look it up, animated Mona Lisa online, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like it brings it to life. So this brings the concern, like, you know how people Photoshop pictures?
Why is that painting so famous, by the way? It's just like there's nothing great about it.
And you know that it's pretty small, too. I saw it in real life.
Really?
It's about this big, yeah. And you think it's
really
huge.
It sucks though that all these painters got famous after they were dead.
Right.
Like, come on.
Right. And composers too, like Beethoven.
Yeah, it's like
yeah.
I think Da Vinci did all right for himself while he was alive. But you're right. Like Van Gogh didn't sell a painting. And
was Van Gogh the one that cut off his ear?
Yeah. But they also say now that he might have been murdered and it wasn't a suicide. There's a new case, and it's made in that movie Loving Vincent, and it's pretty well stitched together that he may have been shot by a relative.
Oh, I believe that.
He was going places. Hey, you know what? I'm so impressed with you, Sam, that you actually have a list of topics to discuss. They're so different from what we do.
These are go-to things.
This is very smart.
Okay, let's do that. Let's put it that way.
No, it's very good, and those are good topics.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure, you know. But but these are things I was really going to talk about today.
Wait, can I talk about something really quick?
Yeah, of course.
So a couple weeks ago at my restaurant, this guy was at the place, and I saw him staring at me, and it's not a big deal because, like, a lot of men stare at me in the restaurant, especially older white men, if I'm going to be honest, especially ones that are married, because it's like they've never seen a black woman before, and they're like,
married when they're staring at
you. Ring. Yeah. And 90% of the time, they're with their wives. I can't even tell you how many people have written their number on a piece of paper while sitting next to their wife and have the server bring me the piece of paper.
Really?
Yeah.
With the wives there. Wow.
Yeah, so this guy was in the restaurant. He kind of gave me like creepy vibes. I was like, I don't know. Something about this guy is off, right?
Well, in my defense, the food wasn't good that day. So I was having a rough day all around. I'm sorry.
But you know what? Also, some people have like open marriage, like
swingers.
And
I'm starting to realize that a lot of people are, or their wives are involved in it too.
Right.
It's like some crazy shit goes down in these streets.
I'm telling you, you don't even know what people do, you know? But I think they go and they pick up women, you know, just for the fuck of it. I mean, or guys, you know, I mean, this guy tells me I enjoy seeing my woman being fucked by another guy. I'm like, how can it be turned on?
Murder would
that?
Be committed and people would die.
But
I've heard that more than I have a good friend who does that. Yeah, I've heard that more than one time.
Really?
I feel like that would bother a guy.
I love learning stuff about my family on the radio. Too. Like, which friend? I'm thinking, which friend is that?
We've had this conversation. I won't say his name. Yes.
Whoa.
Is it ringing a bell now? Anyway,
no,
so.
I don't know who it is.
Which one of my guests was dumb enough to confess that in the radio?
Probably not at the air, I'm sure.
That was weeks ago. And he was with some guy from Boston who recognized me bartending in Boston. So I stopped, had a quick conversation with them. What
Are
about
you from
my
Boston?
Business? I'm from Boston.
So
yeah.
This was like a personal thing. Like they recognized you, not from this show, but because, I remember her from Boston.
Well, no, his friend did. So he was like, it's communal seating. So they were sitting across from each other and his friend said, hey, you used to bartend at so-and-so. And I was like, yeah, quick conversation, whatever. So Thursday night I was working and I was leaving around 9. And as I was leaving, he was standing by the door. And I'm like, okay, we get regular, so it's not that big of a deal. But he says my name. And I go to him, I go, how do you know my name? And he's like, I was with that guy from Boston. I was like, okay, yeah, I do remember that. Then he goes, happy birthday. And he goes to give me a hug. And I don't like being touched if I don't know you. Uh-huh. So I was like, well, thank you. I go, how do you know it's my birthday? Oh, I follow you on Instagram. I came in on Tuesday with your gift, but you weren't working.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, I don't work on Tuesdays, right? Saturday night, it's bodied in there, like busiest night ever. He comes in with $2,000 worth of gifts. Never, ever. Have never gone on a date with this guy. Nothing.
How do you know how much it was worth? You just looked at it?
He gave me a Da Vinci top, which is $1,100 because I want to return it, and a perfume that's $600.
That's the real question. Are you going to return these items for the cash?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can because I don't have the
no,
receipt.
No, it's a gift, yeah.
I think I can exchange it, but the top is hideous. I would never wear it.
Yeah. eBay and I'm just saying.
I mean, do you believe how people throw their money? I mean, she was telling me about how much people spend on bottles of wine.
Mm-hmm. Where? What place is this?
I don't want to say. I'll tell you after the show.
She always lets it slip. Because
I want to make sure I don't go there by accident.
Right. No.
It's not for people like us.
No, it's not for people like
us. No, it's a good vibe. It's a good vibe.
No, but we can't afford that kind
of
place.
No, there's like normal price stuff, kind of.
There's a great lesson there, which is be careful of what you post. Social media wise, you already know that.
Yeah, but I don't post where I work. But I posted that it was my birthday,
but people
obviously
will detective it out.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they've got a level of infatuation.
You post pictures of you at work on your... Because, I follow you.
Yeah, but I don't know if you would know I was working.
No,
I could just be there.
No, you can't tell.
Yeah, I could just be there.
People like that will probably go 2 or 3 times a week.
Right.
Just to see if they can collide with you.
Right.
So, yeah.
He wrote me a message on Instagram and was like, can I take you out? And I said, listen, I'm like not in a space in my life right now where I can date anyone. I really appreciate the gifts. I never asked you for that. Like, you really didn't have to do that. I'm keeping them, obviously.
Is that, did you sign your message off with, like, I'm keeping them, obviously. I didn't ask for the gifts, but I'm keeping them, obviously.
It's expected that you'll keep them.
And then there was another guy who was in the restaurant, and he's from France, and he asked me out. And he seemed like a nice guy, not really that attractive, but I was like, oh, I get gentleman vibes from him. So I'm, like, talking to him, and he is on WhatsApp because he's a French number. And there's a picture of him and his wife on his WhatsApp. And I go, hey, are you married? And he, like, avoided the question like the plague. And I go, finally, I go, after the 10th time, are you married? And he said, yes, I am. I'm good, dude. Like, what do you want? You want an American wife out here?
Yeah. So, well, that's possible.
I think that because he's opening a restaurant out here, he probably just wants, like, a go-to. When I tell you, this dude has showed up at the restaurant every single night this weekend. Can I take you out after work? I'll pick you back up. I'll pick you back up. I'll pick you back up.
And these guys are just, they don't stop, right?
And it's like, no. And the more you say no, the harder they try.
Wow. You see, I would never do that. I would, like, get the message the first time.
I know.
Like,
most of us would get the message.
And then he goes to me, so I'm leaving work on Sunday. He goes, what did I do wrong? I go, you're married. That's what you did wrong.
Yeah.
I should point out, though, that Loda avoided me for 10 months while we were at Warner Bros. She gave me a 10-month, like, basically deflected pattern. But before I go into that,
somebody was getting out of a relationship and they're still kind of has a girlfriend, like, kind of, would you, like, be like, would that go, oh, this is
made up bullshit to justify a 10-month probationary.
Honestly, I'm going to have to.
Not necessary.
I was going to say, honestly, if a dude tell me that he met, if I met a guy and I had a really good, well, I told you about the guy that I just hooked up with, okay?
Yes, we won't talk about that guy.
Yeah, no,
there.
We're not going to talk about that guy. We're not going to drop his name, but he's in the business. Sam knows. He told me he has a girlfriend, but he still said, I want to hang out with you on the side. And I don't have a problem doing it because he just met her. And, like, what if you like me more? If it's brand new, I don't feel bad about it.
Can I look, circling back to these,
don't shake your head at me.
No, we're not shaking our head. Your decisions are your own. Hold on to those gifts before you eBay them out, because you may have to, you may need to give those back if it gets weird.
It's already getting weird. Like, he's been
Then you mean to say, hey, come get your shit, and that's it.
Yeah.
And also, have him come get it at the restaurant, have him get it in the presence of a police officer. Call him down.
I hope it doesn't get to that point.
No, but I mean, it's always nice to actually take the appropriate steps.
Like, I was leaving work on Saturday night.
I hope someone walks you out to your car.
Yeah, no, I park in valet, so it pulls right in the front, so I don't have to walk anywhere. But I was leaving. I told him, he came to my job.
I hope he's not the valet one night. No. What if he pulls your car up? Goes, madam, here's your vehicle. What if he went to those kind of extremes?
Yeah. He showed up with the gifts at 9 p.m., and he's like, what time are you here? So I go, I'm closing, dude. Like, I'm here all night. He stayed until I left work.
Wow. Where did he stay? I was like, bro. You
know that friend of yours that's on Facebook? He's married, but he's a big, muscular guy. Have him pick you up as your boyfriend. Your friend?
Who?
The guy who... I'll show you after.
I would say, but personally, try to diffuse it as friendly as possible at first.
Right.
And just tell the guy, be totally honest. He's bringing you gifts probably from a place of what he perceives to be kindness.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
If it doesn't work, try to take the kind approach back and then move on. If you have to upgrade your approach, then do it. But be
specific. Yeah, you're right about that. You know, I mean, that's the right thing to do. But what you want to do is, well, think about it, though. He took his time to actually pick out gifts for you,
and the perfume is phenomenal. So I wore it the other day.
Really? Yeah. So he's involved. He's invested in this thing. Yeah. So,
which creeps me out, because we've never even had, like, a conversation. That's intense. I told him, he came up to the hostess stand 3 times. I go, you're nuts. And I wasn't saying it in a joking manner. I was like, you're nuts. Like, I'm working. Yeah. Back the fuck up.
Well, I don't think you want to start talking like that in the job place.
I know.
Just try and be as cool as you can and let it go.
Yeah.
And,
you really think we can hear you when you sit next to the door?
No, I didn't even. What I thought it was saying wasn't very important.
That's why we keep headphones
on,
because then you realize you're fine.
But to me, this is the thing. Is like, people always say that, oh my God, you know, it got me a $900 whatever. That does not mean the person can't have bodies in the refrigerator. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how expensive the gift is.
Right.
The intention in which it is being given is kind of weird and kind of like psycho.
Well,
like,
he's Russian with a heavy accent, and he's got a scar across his face. And
yeah, I told her. I said, the fucking Russian mafia.
This gets better.
This is not. This is, to me, this doesn't sound good to me. No. I don't give a shit if he drove up and had a Mercedes for you. something's not right about his intention.
Mm. Right. And I think once you tell him to stay away.
Well, I did last night. I was like, listen,
And that's it. At this point, he's going to become a stalker if he doesn't leave you. Now.
Right.
And then you can call the police.
So come on, I hope it doesn't get to that point.
I know.
Aladdin was a good movie.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes.
He knows where you work, goddammit. That's the thing. Don't get on his bad side. But, yeah, just keep... I don't know. Have you thought of reporting it? Because you've harassed at work.
No, I mean, if he keeps showing up and... He was by himself until close, just staring at me from one of the tables.
Rejection is hard, so you've got to be careful.
Yeah, rejection is hard. I mean, I don't handle rejection well.
So you want to reject them, but you also, you know...
Yeah,
you want to keep it as civil as you can for as long as you can.
Well, I just said, hey, can we just be friends? Because I just got out of a bad relationship. I'm not ready to date anyone anytime soon.
First of all, your shutdown is not as strong as it could be. I think we got to coach you up on how to really give somebody the finger.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. And besides, you're being harassed at work. I think you should report it to the management and let them figure it out.
I mean, the management was there when I got my gifts, and everyone was like, "This is weird."
Yeah,
but the thing about it is, Well, we'll talk afterwards.
It's at the workplace.
If it's Russian mafia, there's a whole different way to handle this. And
right, but we don't know that they are. Yeah,
no,
you don't know.
Well, I don't know anything about him. He's 30. He says he's been here for 7 months. But how? I asked him. I go, "What do you do for work where you can afford $2,000 of gifts for a complete and utter stranger?"
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he was decked out. He had like a Rolex on, like nice shoes, nice outfit.
You know, it's not always something nefarious. I mean, in this case, it most certainly probably is. But not everything is nefarious.
And on that note, folks, nefarious, if you know what it means, I don't know what the fuck it means. I've seen the word before, but you
know, shady, suspicious, okay. All rolled into one.
Ethan, thank you so much for joining us. Well, Loda, thank you. You guys are always fun. You should be regulars on here, maybe once a month for sure.
Well, I love doing the show. Yeah. Hey, I have a real quick, can I have 10 seconds?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
We're doing a thing for our charity for our annual Christmas benefit for the homeless kids
on
the Combat Radio Facebook this month, where we're auctioning off a lot of signed guitars.
And
it goes to charity, and it's signed by everyone.
Really?
Yeah, literally everyone has signed a guitar in the past year, from Berlin to Yes to Oingo Boingo to Little Feet. Everyone signed it.
How cool.
So, The Temptations.
So there's hundreds of guitars going up for auction that we've collected, thanks to our friends at Sam Ash for helping us out with that. And
wow.
For charity, you can go to the Combat Radio Facebook.
Okay, yeah, I was
going to
say, what Facebook?
I should put you together with Jeff Floro that does All About Guitar here, because he's got a lot of guitar viewers and listeners. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be
nice. I'll put you guys together. Then you can, for a whole hour, talk about this stuff, you know, about the guitars and everything. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, because I know so little about guitars, other than who to get to sign it.
Who cares?
I don't know anything about guitars either.
You'll learn a little bit before you do.
Nice. Thank you, Sam.
Of course. Loda, thank you also, as always. And Loda always keeps Danny happy here on Fridays with Starbucks stuff.
I'm trying to give up coffee a little bit, though.
Can you rig the green room with some mics so we can get the conversation that these two have
I know.
After the show?
Yeah, right.
And cut it into some sort of like...
Yeah, when these two talk,
she just shakes her head at me all the time.
Or
I'm
the
always
text
out here
messages
making...
we're having during the show now.
She just shakes her head at me because I make bad decisions.
When you were Danny and Loda in the room, I wish I was a fly on the wall. That's all I can say. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.